The resurrection of Jesus is truly an amazing thing. And the reason that it evokes endless rounds of joyful alleluias is that it has implications not just for Jesus, but for all of us. Though the reality is a bit beyond words, the letter to the Romans contained in the Christian scripture attempts to explain it using words as best it can in this way. And this is chapter 6 of the book of Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father and by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What I hear in those words is that through our connection with Christ Jesus, because of Christ's resurrection, we are alive to God. We are walking in newness of life. God's life is at work in us here and now, and God's life will be at work in us in the future. Resurrection is not just one point in time, it is all points in time. Perhaps you would be receptive to some examples of how resurrection power can be at work in us. 15-year-old Jovan thought his life might be over. His best friend, a young leader and a positive influence in the community, had died of sickle cell anemia. His brother, also a talented young man, had disappeared, pulled away from family and from education and from artistic endeavor by the lure or the threat of gang membership and violence. A night came when Jovan walked for hours through the dark streets in the rain, wondering how to go on. His mother was an alcoholic. He had never met his father. Jovan felt helpless. But even on that darkest of nights, he says, somehow, I knew that there could be a better life for me out there somewhere. Jovan could think of only one place to turn, so he called a man who had been teaching art classes to young people in the neighborhood. "Can I come and live with you?" Jovan asked. "I hardly even knew who he was," the teacher, a man named Bob Hansman, admits. Jovan had been in the classes, but he was a very quiet young man. Hansman hesitated only a few seconds, and then he said, "Sure," and he got in the car to go pick Jovan up. A safe place to sleep, regular meals shared with a caring adult, encouragement to return to school and get a diploma, opportunity to develop as an artist. Jovan began to walk in newness of life. Today, Jovan and Bob work together to lead and support a program called City Faces, which mentors kids in academic and life skills and offers classes ranging from cooking to karate to drawing and painting. What was that something which caused Jovan to cling to hope and reach out for help? One way of putting it could be that the something was God's power for life, the same power for life that raised Jesus from the dead. When Juan Guerra was a young man, he dreamed of becoming a doctor. The dream first took possession of him when he was a child And he would go with his grandparents, who spoke Spanish, to the doctor, who spoke English. And Juan, at 8 years of age, would be the translator. And he felt a terrible weight and a responsibility to get every word right, even though he wasn't really familiar with medical language. But he knew that his grandparents' health and their well-being were at stake. As he got older, he began to realize what a life-giving and hopeful thing it would be if the people in his community could communicate directly with their doctor. Maybe I could be that doctor, he thought. Juan studied hard. He got into a good college. But then, in his first year, he struggled with chemistry, and he did poorly in biology. He was told that he could not be a pre-med major, and so he had to switch to economics. But he took pre-med courses in summer school. He took another year of pre-med classes after college graduation to help him improve his MCAT scores, which had been not so great on the first try. He applied to lots of medical schools and was waitlisted at all of them. He got to go to one interview, and when asked why he wanted to be a doctor, he answered, "To serve my community." The dean scoffed at this answer. "No, no, no," he said. "You should want to be a doctor for the sake of science." But Guerra was not going to let anyone shake what was in his heart. Finally, he got accepted to medical school at the University of Illinois. Today, he's a physician in Oakland, leading a clinical program for Spanish-speaking clients, which features an interdisciplinary approach to health care. We might say that the life he lives, he is living to his family, to his community, and to God. Looking back, Dr. Guerra himself says, "I was weeded out after getting that D+. I was told that was the end of the story. But in reality, it was just the beginning." Sound familiar? Is that not the plot line of Easter? Jesus was killed. End of story. But no, it turns out that crucifixion was just the beginning. The same power for life that caused death and burial not to be the end of the story is at work in us, so that our endings can translate into beginnings. Deborah Smith Douglas became aware that life as she knew it was over when the retina in one of her eyes tore, and she was required for a period of weeks that stretched into months to cease all activity. She had to hold totally still if she wanted to nurture any hope that the tear would mend and that she would get her sight back. No driving, no airplane rides, no walking except for the very few steps necessary to get around the house. No exercise, no stair climbing, no bending over, not even to wash her face or tie her shoe, no lifting, no lying down, no writing, no reading. I was to remain upright and rest my eyes and be still to the point of motionlessness, Deborah recounts. I had to discover how to sleep sitting up and how to do without the limitless reading that has been as indispensable to me as breathing since I was a child, and how to give up the brisk daily walks that seemed essential to my well-being. And then there was the need to let people help her do what she was totally accustomed to doing herself, everything from shopping for groceries to sorting the mail. Ongoing work and plans for travel had to be set aside. "I wanted it back," confesses Deborah. "I wanted restored freedom of action and purpose. I wanted it badly. I longed for my old life." Wouldn't we all? What I got instead, she says, eventually, gradually, almost imperceptibly, were new ways of seeing and believing. A glimpse of the new life, the new creation that God promises. When she couldn't sleep, Deborah found herself quietly singing hymns. Unable to read, she found herself praying more often and more deeply than was her custom. Isolated by her limited circumstances, she found herself almost overwhelmingly in the presence of God. To Deborah's own great surprise, after the first shock and upheaval, and in the midst of ongoing uncertainty, she found herself unaccountably at peace. As the weeks went by, she realized that against what she would have considered all odds and totally contrary to her own temperament, she was finding rest and strength as she waited in the darkness. Eventually, the retina tear began to heal and Deborah's vision slowly began to return. The clarity is not yet what it once was, but Deborah has become content to wait. She is able to move around the world again, and she's doing so with a sense of having been made new. The biggest change that she can identify after a lifetime of impatience is that she is learning to trust in the slow work of God. I think she would concur with the invitation of the letter to the Romans that we, henceforth, because of our sharing in Jesus' death and resurrection, consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Joan Chittister, who is a wise and trustworthy guide to the Christian spiritual path, has this to say about how the life made visible in Christ's resurrection is also at work in us. What will come in the mystery of time will be even richer and calmer and more fundamentally enlivening than life as we know it now. We will experience more of what we sometimes taste and notice now, the foundational serenity of all that is, the presence of another life that fulfills this one. The bottom line, according to Sister Joan, is that we belong to a cosmic world pulsating with life in every dimension. Here's one more story of how resurrection might not only give us hope for participating in eternal life, but also translate into what we're doing with our time and our energies here and now. A few years ago, a man named Andrew Stoloff was asked by a friend of his if he would offer some free consulting advice. Some of his business and restaurant expertise would be useful, the friend thought, in assessing the financial viability of a bakery. The bakery was being run by a nonprofit as a jobs training program, but the parent organization felt that it lacked the expertise to match what it was trying to do. Stoloff's assessment was blunt. The 20 and 30-year-old equipment was decrepit. The part-time staff of 14 were all former prison inmates. The business, located in an economically depressed area of the city, was clearly failing. The nonprofit was confirmed in its desire to sell the bakery. And Stoloff, against the advice of family and friends, and to his own great surprise, decided to buy it. In the midst of what looked like a disaster, he was seeing some glimmer of possibility that intrigued him, and in particular, he was very interested in this concept of offering job opportunity to former prisoners so that they would have some hope of establishing a life that they could be proud of and that would allow them to support their families. And sure enough, Stoloff soon discovered that the main asset of the whole operation was the staff. They were extremely loyal. They put a lot of thought and energy into their work, and they're determined not to mess it up, Stoloff says. My employee turnover rate is way less than industry average. With the holidays arriving soon after he became the owner, Stoloff decided to ramp up production, and he hired 20 more former prisoners. Not all of them worked out, he says, but the ones who did were amazing. Today, the bakery employs 105 full-time staff members whose lives have been turned around by the experience. And it is a profitable enterprise. For Stoloff himself, the level of satisfaction that he receives from mentoring his ex-convict employees in life and work skills, and from advising other business owners and nonprofit organizations as they strive to carry out missions similar to those of the Rubicon Bakery, the satisfaction he gets from this far exceeds any short-term thrill that he received from his 13 years working on Wall Street, or his three previous restaurant startups. He has experienced new life, new purpose, new liveliness, right along with his business and his staff. God's power for life has no limits. As we share through baptism in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God's power for life is made manifest in us. Thus, we are encouraged and enabled to live to God, walking today and always in newness of life. Holy and surprising God, we have gathered for worship this morning, carrying many specific concerns in our minds and in our hearts. We are sensitive today to families and friends of young people who have died tragically in bus and boating accidents in recent days, as well as to other families whose losses and absences are as yet unexplained and unresolved. We do not forget, O God, the families and the communities affected by ongoing violence and injustice in places far and near, the world over. We are aware of our veterans returning home and adjusting to civilian life, sometimes bringing with them hard memories and facing big challenges. We hold close those we know and care for who are experiencing illness, financial insecurity, overwhelming change, or ongoing grief. Even as we pray for the things that deeply concern us, O God, we reach toward your resurrection power. Even as we consider the mistakes we've made and the harmful consequences we have set in motion in our own lives and in the world, we open ourselves to the power of your resurrection so that we might see where our true hope lies. We ask, gracious God, to be healed and transformed by your mercy. We ask to experience the joy of sharing in your work in the world. We thank you for showing us how and for giving us the ability to walk in newness of life through the power of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we now pray, using the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.